الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اتقي دعوة المظلوم فإنه ليس بينها وبين الله حجاب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, my young friends, and mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were able to discuss a very comprehensive hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the past few months. Hadith was narrated by Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala an. When he was about to pass away, he said to the people around him, تَإِنِّي أُحَدِّثُكُمْ حَدِيثًا سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, that today I'm going to mention that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which I have heard directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned three very, very important advices. Number one, اُعْبُدِ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you are watching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if this is not possible, then at least worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner that Allah is watching you. The second portion of the hadith was, wa'dud nafsaka fil mawta, or wa'dud nafsaka min al mawta. Consider yourself amongst the dead. While living in this world, you need to prepare for the hereafter. And think that as if you are no longer in this world, you are in the hereafter. Because the eternal life is not the life of this world. The eternal life is the life of the hereafter. And the third portion of the hadith was, that إِيَّاكَ وَدَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهَا تُسْتَجَابُ. Beware of the dua of mazloom. Verily his duas are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does mazloom mean? Mazloom comes from the word al-zulm. Al-zulm means to wad'u shay'i fi ghayri mahallihi. To put something in a place where it does not belong. Something that does not belong to a certain place, to place something, to put something in that place, is called a dhulm. The scholars mention two types of dhulm. One is the dhulm which is related to a person himself. There is no one else involved in it. There is no third party. It's between him and his Allah. Is between him and his creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Quran makes reference to in many places by saying الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, those people who have oppressed themselves. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, that is to sin, disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to transgress the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to cross the boundaries laid down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to go against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to go contrary to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is also a type of dhulm. Because when a person transgresses the laws of Allah and he goes against the commands of Allah, then he is oppressing himself by making him worthy of entrance into the fire of hell. Because when a person does not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lives a life of disobedience. Then when he goes from this world, he will be punished in his grave. He will face the torment of the day of judgment in the plains of Qiyamah. On the pul sirat, he will face difficulty. He will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam. Through that, he is oppressing himself and he is going through some sort of dhulm with regards to himself. الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. This is the first type of dhulm. And the second type of dhulm is that it's not only between him and his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It involves somebody else as well. It involves a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It involves a third party. And this is the focus of my humble talk. The second type of dhulm. We find so many instances in our lives, my brothers and elders, where we put things in wrong place. وَضْعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي غَيْرِ مَحَلِّهِ. We commit and perpetrate zulm so many times in our life. Whether it's got to do with a person who is in a high position, or a husband perpetrates zulm over his wife, or wife committing zulm upon the husband, or parent to children, children to parents. So I was mentioning the second type of dhulm, that when it involves a third party apart from you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is extremely grave in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this dhulm can be done physically, can be done mentally, can be done from any aspect. This is all considered dhulm. You attack someone's wealth, this is dhulm. You attack someone's honor, this is dhulm. You attack someone's family, this is dhulm. You attack the honor of someone's family, this is dhulm. You take someone's wealth, this is dhulm. You take someone's commodity, an object which belongs to him, this is dhulm. So many different types of dhulm. And it is so grave in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He says in Hadith Qudsi that إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that I have made zulm and oppression prohibited upon myself. Nothing is prohibited for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is incumbent or obligatory upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when he makes something obligatory upon himself, then this is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that your Lord and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is He who has made mercy incumbent upon Himself. Nothing is incumbent upon Himself. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His kindness, mercy and compassion, He makes things compulsory upon Himself to show the creation of His. That I have made this prohibited upon myself, and I have made it prohibited similarly upon you. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. So don't oppress each other. Don't oppress each other in your life. Beware, because the dhulm, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, اتقوا الظلم فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة. That beware and be careful with regards to dhulm and oppression. Because when you go in the hereafter, when each person will be in need of the nur and light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day, this dhulm will translate into many layers of darkness on the day of judgment. The day when the prosecutors, the day when the disobedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Ya Rabbana atmim lana nurana waghfir lana." Oh Allah, today there is so much darkness, we cannot see anything. Oh Allah, complete our nur. Oh Allah, give us light. Oh Allah, give us light So we can make our way towards Jannah. We can make our way towards you. On that day, the zulm will become many layers of darkness for that person. Today, the whole world is engulfed with zulm and oppression. You look at the countries around the globe, especially the Muslim countries, so much zulm and oppression taking place. So much zulm and oppression. Just look at the state of Syria at this moment in time. So much zulm. The nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is drowned in oppression and zulm. Each man is butchered by the oppressors. The women of the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are losing their honor in front of their family members. The children and the kids of the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam are being slaughtered in front of their parents. This is the state of the Muslim ummah at this time, at this moment in time. And the entire world is showing their silence. Hajjaj bin Yusuf, the tyrant king, he killed approximately 120,000 people in his lifetime apart from the battlefield. When he passed away, a person saw him in his dream. And he asked him, مَا فَعَلَ اللَّهُ بِكَ يَا حَجَّاجِ O Hajjaj, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with you? Hajjaj answered in a very amazing manner. And he said that each person I killed in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me taste the pain of killing. But وَقَتَلَنِي يَاللَّهُ بِسَعِيدِ بْنِ جُبَيْرٍ سِتِّينَ مَرَّةً But I have killed one person from the nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sa'id ibn Jubayr rahimahullahu ta'ala. For him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me taste the pain of death 70 times because he was so close and he had the proximity and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he says that not only that person who I killed and I slaughtered with my own hand, but each person who I indicated towards or I promoted or I kept silence upon someone's killing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took revenge on their behalf as well. So today the entire world is silenced against the dhulm and oppression. My brothers, we don't have to become despondent from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we become victims of a psychological defeat, let me tell you that if you open the books of history, this had happened to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If this was the standard of victory, that if you don't face oppression in this world and you become victorious in this world, then you will be victorious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the great grandson, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, would not have faced oppression from Yazid and his company. This is why in the plains of Karbala, Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is holding the great grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his hand. And he is looking at his son, a small infant child in his hand, that this might be my last gaze upon my child. And he is bidding farewell to this child. As he is about to kiss this child, an arrow comes and struck the child and it kills the child in the hand of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who is this, my brothers? This is not an ordinary person like me and you. This is Hussein ibn Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the child who was in the hand of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was none other than the great grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the other oppression that took place in the history of Islam, we don't have to become despondent, my brothers. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely descend. This is the wa'da, this is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musalmano na ghabrao, khuda ki shan baqi hai. Abhi Islam zinda hai, abhi Quran baqi hai. We need to tell ourselves, we don't have to be worried. We don't have to be worried. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we believe in each and every single promise of Allah. We believe in each and every single promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That whatever prophecy is given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will come true before the day of judgment, inshallah. So this is, we don't have to become despondent. But I was saying the oppression and dhulm, it is so grave in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes He gives respite to those who oppress other people. Inna Allah la yumli al-zalim. Inna Allah la yumli dhalim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives respite, He gives freedom. That go and perpetrate more zulm, so I can gather evidences over evidences on the day of judgment, so I can punish you even more when you come to me on the day of judgment. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't grip them. But thumma إِذَا أَخَذَهُ لَمْ يُفْلِتْهُ. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He comes to punish his, when He comes to punish His creation, then no one and nothing can flee and escape the grip of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can escape the grip of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who have become butchers and who are responsible for the massacre and the mass killing and the layers and the killing of many, many people around the globe. These people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do you think, my brothers? What do you think, my brother, when they go in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can they go and watch from in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not bring them to justice on the day of judgment? Definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them to justice. Today, anyone, whether it's Muslim, non-Muslims, whoever oppresses the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He say through the blessed tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَتُؤَدُّنَّ الْحُقُوقُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُقَادَ لِلشَّاتِ الْجَلْحَاءِ مِنَ الشَّاتِ الْقَرْنَاءِ. Look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on the day of judgment, each person, each creation of Allah will be given its due right by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the two animals, two goats, one had no horns, one had horns, they both got into a fight. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forward these two goats, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give horns to those which did not have horns, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive the one which had horns in the world, and the one who did not have horns will take revenge from the other goat. If this is the case with the animals, what can be expected from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to the creation of Allah, the greatest creation of Allah, the ashraful makhluqat, human beings? Dhulm is always very, very severe in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that da'watul madhloomi mustajaba wa in kana fajira fa fujuruhu ala nafsihi. That is, dhulm is so severe in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even if it is committed towards the disobedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is far away from the deen of Allah, who is far away from the teachings of Islam, but if you were to oppress this person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take revenge on his behalf. And in another hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَلَوْ كَانَ كَافِرًا. Even if the mazloom is kafir and disbeliever, and he is a non-Muslim, he does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not believe in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but when he becomes a victim of zulm and oppression, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take revenge on his behalf as well. So let us go with this message. Inshallah, I will continue next week. I have not explained the portion of the hadith that إِيَّاكَ وَدَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهَا تُسْتَجَابُ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the correct understanding of our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from every single disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us steadfast upon iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us pleasant death upon iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.